saving the life of an animal scheduled to be euthanized. A much more satisfying mission than $100 hamburgers. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guests are John Werenberg and Debbie Boyes, who have started something called Pilots in Paws. And I almost don't want to describe this something too deeply because it is not an organization. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But this is an opportunity for pilots with planes and animal activists who are looking for ways to rescue pets that might otherwise be euthanized to come together and do something about this problem. John, Debbie, thanks very much for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you, Paul.
John, let me start with you. Tell us exactly what your vision was for starting Pilots in Paws. And I guess right off the bat, we'll tell our listeners that the website is pilots, letter N, paws.org. But there really is no ORG to it, is there?
No, there isn't. And there's no officers and there's no structure to what is nothing more than a group of people with a common interest. When Debbie first made me aware of the need to transport animals, and I suggested aviation, I quickly learned that animal rescuers such as Debbie really had never thought of general aviation as a potential means of moving animals that might be at risk. And so we came up with the idea of developing a website or an online meeting place where pilots who are looking for an opportunity to fly might come together with rescuers who need an animal transported that otherwise might have been euthanized. What we're hoping will occur is that on the forum on Pilots in Paws, pilots will offer their planes and their time. Rescuers will see pilots from their area, and they will begin working together to transport dogs from one area that has an abundance of animals to another area where they can find permanent homes for them.
Well, John, let me back up for just a minute and ask you if is this a problem with pet populations just occurring in clusters, or is it a matter of some jurisdictions have policies about euthanization that that put animals more at risk for this than, and you just literally have to get them out of the state?
I can only guess at this. I think Debbie would be the better one to answer that, but it's been my understanding from what I have been told by the rescues that I have been dealing with. Our geographic area in the southeast, for example, doesn't have very good practices regarding dogs, and as a result, people tend to not euthanize, spay or neuter their animals. As a result, there's an abundance of puppies that would be euthanized in this area. In the northeast, where I've been transporting a lot of animals, they apparently have much more responsible owners. They do get their pets spayed and neutered, and as a result, we can bring puppies to the northeast and very easily find permanent homes for them. In fact, when we met with a shelter in the Knoxville area recently, they had indicated that there are some shelters that are always looking for animals to be adopted out.
All right, Debbie, tell us about your background. You have a background more rooted in the rescue of animals. Tell us how that came about.
Well, Paul, it strictly came about from my love for animals since I was a small child. I decided that animals were something that needed our help as humans, and my particular breed of choice happens to be a Doberman Pinscher, and it is my husband's breed of choice as well, although we love all animals. And there, like John stated, there's an abundance of animals who are in dire need in this country. They have been dumped in the woods. They have been abused by owners. I have seen some unspeakable things, and my previous profession was a nurse. And I can share with you that some of the animals that I have come across in rescue work is not something that you could easily stomach, even the sight of looking at some of these poor animals. So it started my search for adopting a rescue dog, and that is how I became involved in rescue work, with a wonderful group called Doberman Assistance Network. We started it last fall, and what our group does is primarily coordinate between approved rescues. There are good rescues and bad rescues, for those who are unaware, and we try to research the rescues that we work with, and then we coordinate with the shelters trying to pull these dogs and cats before euthanasia and find them a rescue to go to and hopefully an adoptive forever home. And that is actually how John and I first started. I decided to adopt, my husband and I did, a Doberman from Florida. And John and his wife are friends of ours, and John spoke up and said, "Why don't I fly him to you?" And I was just shocked and overwhelmed at his generosity. And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Sure, I'll come pick up your husband, and we'll just fly down and we'll get him." So that's really how it all began. And then John started asking me, how do these animals get from, you know, point A to point B? And I forwarded him some websites to look at with ground coordination. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Paul, but with ground transport, there are ground transport coordinators that work with rescue groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up animals to move. As John stated, we find the problem primarily in the south, southeast, and they generally head north. Well, these animals, most drivers are volunteers. They will only drive an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. And you can imagine the number of times an animal or animals have to change vehicles from, let's say, Georgia to Ohio.
Right.
Once an hour. And you have to coordinate every leg of that trip. Whereby a pilot could pick up those animals in Georgia and fly them to Ohio in 3 hours. So basically, that's how we came together.
Well, I guess I'm kind of surprised that it requires transporting animals over such vast distances. It just seems as though in this day and age, there ought to be some sort of computer network where you could find someone closer to your location. But apparently, that's not the case.
Well, I can tell you that every rescue in the South, either an all-breed or a specialized purebred rescue, are full, bursting at the seams, and have a waiting list. There are approximately, in one shelter that I'm aware of in the Carolinas, 600 animals euthanized per month.
Wow.
That's a lot of animals.
And if
we can get them north or even to the Midwest, which is, you know, we're really searching for some pilots that could possibly head to the Midwest areas because they have available space. They have shelters, they have rescues that have space. They have adopters. They have applications for adopters. We just need to get the animals to them.
John, you were going to say something?
Yes. In Knoxville, they euthanize about 12,000 animals a year, just to give you an idea of the scope of the problem. There are, as Debbie says, there are rescues and shelters in the north and the northeast that literally can take them and find permanent homes. The issue is, how do we transport them?
All right, we're going to come back after the break, and John, I want you to tell our listeners, many of whom are pilots, a little bit about what it takes to get involved in this. My guests are John Werenberg and Debbie Boyes of Pilots and Paws, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Music. Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here, along with John Werenberg and Debbie Boys of Pilots and Paws, saving the lives of innocent animals. They have a website at pilotspaws.org. But this isn't really an organization. The website is set up as a meeting place for pilots who are touched by these stories and would like to help these animals. And as John mentioned to me before we got started, it's a great alternative to the $100 hamburger. John, tell us a little bit about what's involved in doing this kind of work. What are some things that pilots who might be interested might not think of that need to be planned for in a transport mission?
Starting with the before the flight even begins, the pilots are going to need to know from the rescuers the sizes and the weights of the dog, and then they're going to have, or animals, and then they're going to have to consider their ability to handle it in their particular plane. I fly a P210, and through experience, I know that I can fit a certain combination of animal carriers in the plane. So I'm limited in the number of animals that I can carry due to their physical size or their weights. The other thing that the pilots have to know is that they have somebody that they can communicate with at any time during a rescue flight. I have also learned through experience not to deal with rescues that don't have a phone number that is going to be answered by a real-life person once the rescue flight begins, because if the pilot needs to divert because of weather, if the pilot has a mechanical problem, he now has a plane that might be full of animals, and he may need some help and guidance from somebody on the ground that has contacts or that can help steer him. Once he decides that he's going to do a rescue flight, it is strictly between the pilot and the rescues to establish the schedule. The pilot should never feel compelled to fly in weather that the pilot is not comfortable with or that the plane's not capable of handling. The pilot should never feel compelled to take an animal that perhaps has a medical problem and that is going to require special care. Basically, the pilot has to use his judgment and only do what he's comfortable in doing.
What about physical requirements or considerations? I know some animals take better to flying in airplanes, small airplanes especially, than others do. What do you say to someone who's maybe worried about their brand new Cirrus with a leather interior?
I'm worried about my plane and its leather interior. And what I have is a variety of carriers for the various animals. I make sure that the carriers have absorbent cloth or mattresses in the bottom of them, so if the animal gets sick or relieves himself, it will be absorbed by the material in the bottom of the carrier. I also will spread out on the seats where I place carriers some kind of a cloth to protect them from any kind of leakage if anything does get out of the carriers. But I can tell you from about 115 hours of flying rescues now that the number of times that an animal has relieved himself or has vomited is really not very many times.
All right. I guess I would have one concern as a pilot taking a load of rescue animals from one place to another. Debbie, explain the arrangements that are made ahead of time for who's going to pick these animals up when the plane lands, because obviously some coordination has to be done about who is going to come and get these animals. Is that done by the rescues themselves, or do you play a role in that?
Occasionally, I will play a role in that if assistance is needed. If someone emails our Pilots and Paws site, the email does come directly to me. I'm strictly an advisor. I will send them to where they need to read the guidelines, get the information, possibly make suggestions to them. It is basically, as John stated earlier, left to the pilots and the person posting for the rescue need for that animal. And what generally happens is the rescue on one end, the sending end, has already, of course, been in contact with the rescue on the receiving end. They are in agreement on times and dates. Whatever the pilot says goes, and they are well aware of that, and they are also well aware of last-minute changes due to weather conditions a mechanical failure or something that might happen to delay the flight. And they are share phone numbers and email addresses with the pilot. They are in contact the day of the flight, the night before the flight, and getting everything arranged. They all have their phone numbers, their cell phone numbers. And generally, I think I can speak for John as well. We have not run into a situation yet where someone on the rescue end has not been prepared and available at the airport waiting for the pilot to arrive and load the animals. And then on the receiving end, they have been waiting as well. Have you experienced anything different than that, John?
No, I haven't, and I can add to it. I always file IFR, and as a result, I let people know of Flight Aware, which is a great means for the people on the ground to literally track the flight.
Yes, it is.
That is a great thing. John, let's finish up by letting pilots know how they can get in touch with rescues and vice versa.
Having gone through the period of disbelief before we established credentials, most rescues actually don't believe it when a pilot approaches them and says, I'll do that trip for you. Most of the transports are posted on Yahoo and some other sites, so that a pilot, by being a lurker, can find transports that are needed, contact the transport coordinator or the sending and receiving rescues, and volunteer. Once the rescues are familiar with aviation as an alternative to driving, I would suggest then that the pilots communicate directly with rescues and shelters in his or her own area, either for sending or receiving. We're going to fly empty in one direction, so it really doesn't matter whether the pilot deadheads to pick up animals or originates with a full plane load and drops them off.
Are there any flights that pilots might be making now that would take the place of a deadhead? In other words, if someone's flying from Ohio to South Carolina or to Tennessee, is it feasible to arrange animals to take back when he goes back the other way?
Yes. If we can develop a critical mass on the website where we have an extremely active method of posting transports, posting who's doing flights, where they're originating, where they're coming to, we can easily do that. I've done multiple leg transports already where I've picked up animals at multiple sites, or I have dropped off animals at multiple sites. So it's a very easy step to go and find a rescue that needs a transport in the opposite direction. But we literally need the sheer numbers of people involved in order to be able to do that.
All right. How do you direct people to the places on the internet where these communities exist? Is that the job of the forum that is set up on your website?
Yes, we have a links section on our website that actually will direct you to places such as the Yahoo groups to search for animal rescue transport. Just type it in the search engine there. Several groups will come up. They're also listed by interstates that go from, you know, certain parts of the country to the other. Whatever your area is, I feel certain to, in saying that you can find an area. A pilot can look and see what area is in his realm. We also have a Pet Finder link on our website, and there is a transport group on the Pet Finder website, and it has a transport section that the pilots can monitor as well. And on our site, of course, we have rescues who post in our section for animals needing a ride. So there are several places, if you just go to our website, that you'll be able to investigate.
Well, there's obviously no shortage of candidates on the pet side. There's probably quite a shortage of pilots. So hopefully that the exposure of this interview will help you folks get this thing to the next level. And I want to commend you both for doing this. I think it's great. I happen to be a dog person. I know some people think there are more important things to worry about in the world than saving animals, but frankly, some of the big ones we have to worry about, there's nothing you can do something about right now, and this is one that you can. So thank you very much. We'll refer our listeners to the website, which is www.pilots.org. And John, Debbie, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you,
Paul. Thank you for asking us, Paul. We really appreciate it.
My guests have been John Werenberg and Debbie Boyce, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.